Well, as always, it's a great privilege and a blessing to be able to assemble together on the Lord's Day and worship Him in spirit and in truth. I appreciate you being here, especially those that are visiting with us. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity you have, and you're visiting with us, or even if you're a member here. And you have questions about things that you hear or things that you see or whatever the case may be, don't hesitate to ask. If I don't know the answer, I'll say I don't know. We'll study the Bible till we get an answer. One of these other brethren may know. But don't leave with an unanswered question. You don't have to. So we appreciate you being here this morning. I want us to talk about the brevity of life for just a little bit. I hope that each of us attribute the fact that we are living to God. God has blessed us to be here today. He's blessed us to, yet again, this side of eternity, to be able to wake up and to have this day of life that we have. The beautiful sunshine and the cool temperature, but it's supposed to warm up today, but God's blessed us to yet again be able to live and be numbered among the living. In the book of Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, "The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." In the book of Job, chapter 33, and in verse 4, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." So again, our life attributed to God. Those were the words of Elihu that he's speaking to Job. Again, Job 33, verse 4. "I lay me down and slept. I wait for the Lord's sustainment," the psalmist declared in Psalm 3, and in verse 5. And in the book of Acts chapter 17, as Paul is speaking to those idolatrous citizens of Athens, notice what he says. Begin with verse 25. He says, "Neither is worship," talking about God, "neither is worship with man's hands as though he needeth anything, seeth he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might find Him, and feel after Him, and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us." Now watch what he says, verse 28. "For in Him we live and move and have our being," as some of your own poets have said, "for we are also His own offspring." So we live because God has blessed us to live. But yet life is fleeting, and it goes quickly. And we know that the days just soon turn into weeks, and the weeks into months, and the months into years, and before you know it, we've lived our life. And so life is fleeting. We know that life will end. "The living know that they shall die," Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 5. "And the silver cord is loose, and the dust will return, the body will return to the dust from which it was taken, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. So we know that life is going to end. God gives life. Life is going to end. And I want us to think about how life is brief. I don't know when I'm going to die, and you don't either. Many people die in their 30s or their 20s or their 50s or whatever the case. You just go on and on with that. Sometimes people die and they don't even realize that when they were in their 20s, they were mid-age. Midlife, and didn't realize it because they passed away in their 40s. And I'm in my 40s. And I don't know if I'm going to have tomorrow, but you don't either. Life goes quickly. I look back just over the span of just a few years, and I wonder where it went. I look at pictures just since we've been here, and we moved here, and Ethan was finishing up kindergarten, and now he's going to be in high school next year, and I think, where did time go? But that's the way life is. Have you ever stopped to consider how the Bible describes the brevity of life? I want to give you a few of them as we think about how swift life is. Just going through the Bible and looking at some various expressions of the brevity of life, I put down 14 I want to share with you. Ways in which the brevity of life is described in the Bible. First of all, in 1 Samuel 20 and in verse 3, David said, "As the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, there is but between me and death You know what he said there's just in between? A step. He said, there's just a step between me and death. That's the way it is with all of us. Death may come upon me before I even get out of the pulpit. I don't know. Before we exit the building. I don't know. A fellow that I'm acquainted with for some years, I remember another preacher friend of mine knew his father very well, and he had mentioned his dad was just walking and smiling, and then all of a sudden he just fell backwards, gone, died of a massive heart attack. A step between me and death. Now think about what the Bible says in 2 Samuel 14, verse 14. For we must needs die, and are as water spilled on the ground that cannot be gathered up again. If you ever spilled anything on the ground, try gathering it up again. It's gone. You spilled it. And he describes life that way, the swiftness of life. Job 7 and verse 6, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. You might read that and you may say, I have no idea what he's talking about. I know he says that life is swifter than a weaver's shuttle, but you might have to do some research on that. And there's big gloom, and they would cast a device through there as they would weave the thread. So there was a device that was connected to the wool or the yarn, whatever it might have been, that they were using, cotton strands, whatever the case may have been. And as they were weaving that, they would cast that through from one side to the other. Look a video up sometime and see how fast that is in the device that they shove back and forth. It's called a weaver's shuttle. It's a shuttle. And it goes quickly from one side to the other. And Job said in verse 7, oh, remember that my life is wind, and my I shall see no more good. In Job 8 verse 9, for we are but of yesterday, and know nothing because our days upon the earth are a shadow. Now in that verse he references the swiftness of life as yesterday and as a shadow. Yesterday's gone. Think about how quick yesterday went. Fast. A shadow is ever moving. Until it is no more. When the sun sets, the shadow's gone. When there's no more light to cast the shadow. When you think about a shadow, it just keep continually going until it is no more. Job stated it. It's recorded in Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. Man that is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. Job 14, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 39, verses 4 and 5. Lord, make me to know my end and the measure of my days. Did you know your days are measured? I think about what he stated. The psalmist stated in Psalm 90. So teach us to number our years that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom and understanding. Help me to know the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. Hold your hand up and look how wide it is. As a handbreadth. And mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. In Psalm 78:39, for he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. In Psalm 90 verse 9, for all our days are spent as a tale that is told. Life is compared to just a told tale. Then in verse 10 of the same Psalm 90, the days of our years are 80 years and 10 or 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. Watch it. So we think about the brevity of life, for it is soon cut off. And we fly away. And then as Ray did a very good job in the scripture reading from James chapter 4 and then verse 14, whereas you know not what is on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time. And then compared to as grass. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 24, for all flesh is as grass and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Do you think about all those statements concerning the brevity of life? I want you and me to know, all of us to know, that we're not an exception to those statements. That describes our life. It's ever fleeting, ever fading away until one day our earthly pilgrimage is over. So in light of the fact that God gives life, in light of the fact that we're going to die, that life will not last forever here, in light of the fact that life is brief, the brevity of life, I want us to think about some things that we ought to be impressed with and the urgency of several things that we need to get busy doing before our life is no more. Think about these things. I'm not going to give you many of them. I think I put together 20 or 21 of them. But just a few. So listen to these things of which we need to be urgent in doing. The first one, we need to see the urgency and the light of the brevity of life of obeying the Lord. It just never ceases to amaze me that folks who know they should put it off and put it off and put it off, knowing they should obey the gospel. He's the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him, Hebrews 5:9. We got to do what He says to do, Revelation 22, verse 14, or heaven is not going to be our home. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Do His commandments while we have opportunity, before life is over. And so, since life is brief and since it's gone very swiftly, I hope you see the urgency in obeying the gospel. You may be here this morning, never obeyed, not a Christian, not a child of God. Why not obey this morning? What are you waiting on? Don't answer out loud, just answer for yourself. But also we see the urgency, the need, the ever-pressing need to remember God in the days of our youth. The days of my youth are gone. Someone says, well, you just said you're in your 40s, you're not old. I didn't say I was old. But I'm not as young as I used to be. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Aches and pains of getting old. You need to obey the Lord while you're young and you're not hindered because of age to serve Him with vigor and enthusiasm and that you have when you're young. You won't be able to get around as you are able to now. When you get older, have a tendency to slow down because of our age. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. We have young people here this morning that we're blessed with. And I'm thankful every single time the door is open that our young people come. Every single time I'm happy to see them. We can all do better in coming to every single service. But I'm thankful for our young people coming. We've got young people that's not obeyed. Young people obey. Well, when can I obey? When you know the truth. When you know the truth, that's the time, and I've been stressing this in these studies I've been having. When you come to knowledge of the truth, and you know you need to do something about your soul's condition, that's when you obey. Don't wait on anybody. Obey when you know the truth. Remember thy Creator. I hope we see the urgency in that. And you can serve Him all the days of your youth and all the days of your life. I hope we see the ever-pressing urgency and need while time remains to preach the gospel. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. The power of God to save. Romans chapter 1, verse 15. Preach, preach, preach. And we're blessed here because we have so many able, capable men who are able to teach and preach the gospel. And we need to do that at every opportunity we have. Outside these four walls, we need to continue to preach the gospel of Christ. And I continually am reminded of the fact that not everybody knows the truth. They don't know about the Lord's church. They don't know about salvation. They don't know what the Bible teaches about those things. And how are they going to know except they have a preacher? Except to have somebody to teach them. Romans chapter 10 makes that point. As well as Acts chapter 8. How shall I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip to come up and sit with him. And he did. Began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So in the light of the brevity of life and the very fleeting nature of life, I'm impressed with the urgency to preach the gospel. Paul said, I'm debtor. I'm debtor to you that are at Rome also. And he says, I'm ready. I'm in debt, I'm ready, I'm not ashamed. Romans chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. But also, number 4, so we think about the urgency to do some things. What about to redeem the time? often in the Bible, the idea of redemption or to redeem means to purchase back or to buy back. Romans or Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You can't buy back your time. Once time is gone, it's gone. Maybe you might have more time that God blesses you with, but you don't have yesterday. I don't have 9 o'clock this morning anymore. It's gone. The point that he's making is make proper use of your time that you have. Use your time wisely. Don't waste your time. Now, all of us, no doubt, are guilty of wasting time from time to time. Be careful about that. Use the time that God has given us wisely. Redeem the time because of it. Day is evil. What about the urgency to be faithful? Over and over we have Scripture that tell us to be faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, and that's written to a group of Christians, seven churches of Asia, seven congregations of the Lord's people, seven churches of Christ in this place called Asia. They were persecuted in the first century, but John has received this message, a message of hope, and that if they will be steadfast and faithful unto the end, they can go to heaven when life is over. And we have that same message today, that there is hope, better things to come if we remain faithful unto the end. What about the ever-present need and urgency to assemble? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, but provoking one another, or exhorting one another unto love and to good works. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, verse 24 says, considering one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Don't fail to assemble. Yes, there's times we want to be here, but we can't. But the times that we can, we're duty-bound to be here. Think of that. Well, I'll go on Sunday morning, the rest, so it's just kind of optional. You say, well, you're jumping on people that don't come on Wednesday night. No, I'm not jumping on anybody. I'm just encouraging all of us. But folks, usually people who habitually do not come on Wednesday night for reasons other than them being prohibited from doing so or hindered from doing so, usually that's not the first indication of they're going in their own direction. Usually they don't come Sunday night either. Usually they don't come to Sunday morning Bible study. So we've got to be careful about that. Exhort one another. Do you know how much it exhorts one another to see one another come to every service of the church? And so we need to continually do that in light of the brevity of life and how swift it is. But what about the ever-present need to pray? Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. In everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Now's the time to be praying for the things that we are duty-bound to pray for. Our brethren, for the work, for the lost, for our leaders, and the list just goes on and on. What about the urgency to be a good husband, wife, mother, father, son, or daughter? Ephesians chapter 5 and Ephesians chapter 6 and other passages that talk about that. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands, so forth. Love your children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. The urgency of doing that. I need to be a better husband, a better father than I was yesterday, and continually look at it from that standpoint. I need to do better and better and better. What about the urgency to do good unto all men? As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. What about the urgency to study our Bible? I'm convinced that a lot of Christians don't study their Bible as they should. I need to study more. Maybe you need to study more. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of Truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. Meditate in the Word of the Lord, day and night, Psalm 1, verses 1 and following. So the urgency to study the Word of God. Study it while you're able to study. I don't know how many people Perhaps now wish, you know what, I wish I would have studied my Bible when I was younger, and now I can't even read it. Can't even see it to read it. Think of that. Study it while you're able to do it. Don't have to rely on somebody to read it to you. I understand that can be a blessing to have somebody read the Bible to you, but study it while you're able to. What about the ever-pressing need and urgency to teach other people? Preach the gospel to every creature, Mark 16. Teach all nations, Matthew 28. And then, for the gospel preacher, here's what you're duty-bound to do. Different ways in which this can be carried out, but the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. 2 Timothy 2:2. And so the charge to Donnie Oliver and those that would pick up the Bible to preach it is your duty bound to teach other men, that is other Christians, so that they would be able to teach others. And so we're duty bound to do that. And different ways in which we can do that. What about the ever-present need to labor? Be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Yea, saith the Spirit, blessed are they that die in the Lord. From henceforth, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labor, and their works do follow them. Revelation 14, 13. Now's the time to be busy. Never will forget a gospel preacher that's been at it for many years. Someone said, well, when are you going to retire? You know, my retirement's up there. And they're reading the Bible about a gospel preacher retiring from preaching. Think of that. I understand many times preachers are hindered because of health and other things that might come upon them, but our retirement is in heaven. We need to preach so long as there's wind in our lungs to preach the gospel of Christ. To be steadfast, as I mentioned to you from 1 Corinthians 15:58, steadfast and unmovable and always abounding. The urgency in doing that because life is brief and it's fleeting. Now think about 2 Timothy 4 and in verse 2. Preach the word. I already mentioned that one to you. But notice the rest of it. Reprove, rebuke, exhort. With all long-suffering and doctrine or teaching. Because the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Number 15. The urgency, the need to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Ephesians chapter 5 and then verse 11. I tell you one of the problems among God's people. You ready for it? And you may not be guilty of it. I didn't say you are. But I tell you, by and large, a problem that many of God's people have allowed themselves to be entangled in. They're too worldly. Want to be too much, in too many ways want to be like the world. I can still serve God and still do the things that my friends are doing. Be careful about that. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Did you realize it's not good enough to just not have fellowship with them? But you've got to take the other part as well. But rather reprove them. Too many times we say, well, I don't do those things. But yet we have allowed the devil to spiritually tongue-tie us. And we don't move our tongue against those things. And yet the text says, reprove them. What about to the ever-present need to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord? Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you'll be my sons and daughters. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 and 18. What about the ever-present need and the urgency in light of the brevity of life to do that? To not be like the world, to come out from among them and don't touch those things, and to be separate. It's okay to be a peculiar people. It's okay to be a little bit odd in the eyes of the world. Because we don't serve the God of this world. We serve the God of heaven who demands us to not be like the world so that we can go where He is for all eternity. What about the ever-pressing need to be zealous? Someone has once said that zeal is contagious. enthusiasm, contagious. I recently wrote, if that were the case, what are the chances or the likelihood that you would infect someone else? Some people you never have to worry about catching what they have because they're not zealous or they're not enthusiastic about it. We've got to answer for ourselves. Are we zealous? Titus chapter 2 and in verse 14, we're supposed to be a peculiar people, zealous of good works. What about to worship? Here we are doing this very thing this Lord's Day in this place. God is Spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John 4, verses 23 and 24. What about the need to do that? The time may very well come when I can't go to where the saints meet and worship God. So personally, I'm motivated because life is brief. And I don't know what kind of condition, if I live to be 60, 70, 80, I don't know what condition I'm going to be in. I want to go now while I can go. And I hope you feel the same way. What about the ever-present need to lay up treasures in heaven? Yeah. In the great Sermon on the Mount, when the Lord talked about laying not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth doth corrupt and so forth, and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21. Now's the time to be done. Don't get caught up on the here and now. These things are temporal that have fade away, 2 Corinthians 4:18. Lay up treasures in heaven. What about the ever-present need, pressing need, the urgency to get off the wide and onto the narrow? I'm not going to say much about that because I recently have done a sermon on that. But to get off the wide that leads to life or to destruction, and get onto the narrow that leads to life everlasting. As the Lord talked about in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. One more point. Verse 21 things. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In light of the fact that life is brief and that it is going so swiftly, I hope that all of us are impressed with the need to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hope that the lesson's been beneficial to you as we've talked about the brevity of life. God has given us life. We're going to die one of these days. Sometime, except the Lord come first. And it goes so very fast. But the urgency and the need to do these 21 things, and you just keep on going. You could grow that list of things we need to be urgent about doing. I've just shared a few of them with you. If you're here this morning, not a Christian, I hope that you realize that you don't need to spur the invitation, that you don't need to put it off, that now's the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Obey now. Preacher, what must I do to be saved? Hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Believe it, John 8:24. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Repent of your sins. Change your mind about what you've been doing. Do what's right. Without doing that, we'll perish, Luke 13:3-5. Confess your faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Are you willing to stand before those present this morning and with your own mouth make that confession? As the Lord commanded, Matthew 10:32, and the eunuch did in Acts 8:37. And then be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. That's how you become a Christian. If the world lasts for another 2,000 years or more, you'll still become a Christian by doing that very same thing. You may be here this morning, you may say, preacher, I did that in the past. But I fell away. I'm not being faithful as I should, and I realize that, and I want to come home. I want to be restored. God will forgive you if you'll repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.